Hello, my name is Jiwoo. Welcome to the 8th and final episode of The Proxy, a podcast by UW Coffee and Code designed to be your connection to the tech industry. On our last episode of the season, we have Declan Goncalves. Declan is the embodiment of having your cake and eating it too. He has worked his way up through the software engineering industry, all the way to securing internships at companies like Lyft and Facebook, while at the same time starting Stride, his own software company specialized in medical diagnostics. We talk about all the not-so-glamorous moments that have led to his current success, how he balanced that with a startup life, and what those experiences taught him for the future. Don't go anywhere, you don't want to miss this one. So, I guess we'll get started right away. This is episode 8, the season topper, the last one of this season.
Oh, wow. Grand finale.
The grand finale, yeah. And for this episode, we have Declan Goncalves. Declan, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Hold up. I am doing good. Just checking on the audio for a quick second. But, so I wanted to bring you in because I think you have one of, like, the craziest kind of, like, total career paths.
All right.
In that, like, you started, I guess, not from software.
Yeah.
And then you ended up in software engineering. And then you, like, you went down the golden path, you know, for, like, software engineers. You hit all the fan companies, but, like, you hit all the big tech companies. Then you decided to do your own thing. Yeah. Just like hustling on the side, casual, right? And so I wanted to like talk to you more about that kind of stuff. So what was your background in technology before you came to the school? Because you are now, what year?
Now in my fourth year, yep. 3B term of software engineering.
Cool.
Yeah, so before I came to Waterloo, and I actually came in as a systems design engineering student, but before I came to Waterloo, really didn't have that much programming experience. Dabbled a little bit in web development beforehand. But I was always interested in like science and math. Always super curious about computers, loved computers. Did a bunch of video editing before I came. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
I used to love video editing. Back in like elementary school.
What kind of videos did you edit?
Oh, these were like little videos we shot with our friends where we try to like add special effects.
Dude, I did the exact same thing. That's crazy.
Like gun flares.
Yeah, and dude. Did you ever watch like Freddie W and Corridor Digital?
Yeah, all those guys?
Yeah.
Definitely inspiration. But I found that was so much fun and it actually taught me a little bit about like how computers worked. And so anyway, I love computers, love technology, love science, math. And I just thought that engineering offered such a great foundational education that I chose to, enroll in systems design engineering when I came in.
Right. So you started there and then you made the switch to software.
Yeah.
So why and how? Those are my two questions.
Yeah. So after my first year of systems design engineering, decided to transfer into software engineering. Not that systems design engineering isn't a fantastic program because it is. But I found that I just fell in love with the programming right away. I just had so much fun doing it that I thought it made more sense to kind of focus in on software engineering. Just because I knew that was what the area I wanted to be in going forward.
Did you find the transition difficult? Like going from, and like for people who are not from the school, like systems design is kind of more on the general side where you learn a lot of bits and pieces of a different bunch of different things. But software is like, it's number one, it's really fucking serious. And it's like made up a lot of different parts of software. And was that hard? Just focus strictly on coding?
I would say like focusing on the coding wasn't the hard part because I loved coding. Mm-hmm. I had to overload some classes and take a lot of extra courses. The other students in software engineering are super serious. And a lot of them came to university already having a ton of programming experience. So I think that transition was a bit difficult. But overall, like I loved the content that I was learning. So that definitely made it a lot easier.
Yeah. And I think you hit the end goal or like the real like bread and your path actually mattered in which like through co-ops and stuff, you ended up at a lot of really nice companies. So how did you go about like, because you worked most recently for Lyft and now heading into Facebook, I believe?
Yeah, that's correct.
So like, how did you go from a person with no programming experience pre-university into like working at probably the most prolific programming place you could probably work at.
Yeah, I think just building up, honestly. You do hear those kind of, you know, success stories where someone gets like Google on their first internship or something like that. That was not the case with me, right?
And it's not the case for most people.
Exactly. You build up, and what I did was focus too. So I focused on web development.
Okay.
And primarily front end, and then I went into full stack. So by focusing on that, you learn the languages inside and out, the frameworks, just the overall area. And you'll just find that you continue to progress upwards. Mm-hmm. I noticed that like some students do try to experiment and try a bunch of different things in their co-ops, which I think is like a perfectly valid thing to try out, because I mean, when else do you get a chance work at a job for like 4 months and then just say peace out and
And knowing that you get to change, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's like perfectly valid. I found that I loved web development and I just kind of stuck with it. I think it just culminated in working at Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So then going from, you started at smaller companies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So going from those smaller companies to like places like Lyft and eventually, bigger and bigger places, did you find any like major stark differences between, where you came from and where you went and where you ended up at?
Yeah, for sure. I think each company has been like very different. I've worked at a startup with mm-hmm. less than 10 people where there's like no processes in place at all. So it's kind of like you can do whatever
it's
you
the
want.
Wild West.
Yeah, it's the Wild West when it comes to software development. And then I've worked at companies where they've been around for more than 10 years. All the processes are like already established. Typically, the software development cycles are like slower. You don't get as much out. There's not as much, change when it comes to the product and what you're actually implementing. So there's definitely been some differences. But overall, I wouldn't say that's due to, the quality or the prestige of like any of these companies. Really, it's just like the size and where they're at right now, and it definitely varies.
Mm, interesting. Yeah. So towards the end of the run, I guess, you worked at Lyft, and I stalked your LinkedIn, and you said that you led development at Lyft for the landing page for drivers?
Yeah.
So that is crazy.
It was an awesome experience.
I want to ask you, how did you go, because I know like leading is a tough thing, and like having enough faith in your own skills as a programmer to when someone comes at you and says, why aren't we doing it this way, to stand up and defend for your own technical decisions is
sure.
a really hard skill. How did you go about like acquiring something like that?
Yeah.
Or, like, building that kind of mindset?
I'd like to take credit for it myself, but
wouldn't we all?
Yeah. I think I was fortunate to have been placed on like a really great team at Lyft, which was the growth team. And not only did they, first of all, just give me a ton of responsibility after I proved that I, could actually manage it, but I also got paired with like a fantastic mentor. I think I also wasn't afraid to ask stupid questions early on.
Oh yeah, that's super important.
Yeah, and beforehand at previous co-ops, I think I hesitated. To ask like questions that I thought were stupid or silly or trivial.
Like, how do I get my email working?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, shit like that. Like, you need to do it.
Yeah, because you're afraid that, people, I don't know, they're not going to think you're proficient or qualified for what you're doing. When I came to Lyft, I decided not to do that. And I had a mentor that also was willing to take the time to actually explain all these like simple things, I guess, to me, which allowed me to really understand what I was doing. And so after, I showed and proved that I could actually manage that responsibility, the team actually gave that to me, which was fantastic. And so, I ended up being the sole developer of the Drive with Lyft landing page, which has like millions of visitors every
month.
That's
crazy, dude. That's actually crazy.
Yeah. I mean, not to say I managed it perfectly. I did take it down for like 15 or 20 minutes one time within my first month.
15 or 20 minutes, dude. That's great. I remember the first time I broke the game at Ubisoft, like people couldn't play for hours.
Oh, okay.
Like, people couldn't work on the game. And I was like, oh my God, I did everything wrong.
Yeah.
I remember it's happened a few times.
We were doing the postmortem and
yeah.
And they were just showing how much money we supposedly lost. And I was like, oh God, oh God.
It's great.
And then my manager told me a story where he took down like, what was it, Hulu or something like that previously.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was bad. Yeah. So anyway, it happens, right? Mm-hmm. But you learn from your mistakes and I didn't do it again.
Yeah. So it's the people around you that really like, did the trust from your team really like boost your own confidence?
For sure.
Really?
For sure. Damn. Yeah. But I'd say, yeah, like, I was really fortunate to land on such a great team at Lyft. And, you know, if you are starting an internship at a company, you might not have a say in what team you land on, and you might not even know what team you want to land on. You're kind of rolling
some
the dice.
Some teams you might not even know exist.
Yeah, exactly. But I think you can definitely put in some effort into finding like a mentor or someone that you can even just go out to lunch with or, you know, ask those simple questions because it's definitely beneficial.
Damn. So there you go. Find the giants on which to stand on their shoulders and look farther.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So the crazy part about all this is that, because I know this, but the listeners might not, is while all this is going on, you're running your own startup at the same time, which blew my mind because I tried that and I could not handle it, so I stopped. And the other people I used to do that company with have now left school, and so they didn't do the school part. And you still managed to do it, and you're still doing it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say successfully yet.
I mean, success. We define success in different ways.
Exactly.
So I want to talk to you about that.
Sure.
So you started what the company's now called Stride, but what started as Neurogate?
Yep.
Yeah. So when did you start that company?
I guess that really started in second year. So I ended up applying and getting into Hack Harvard, which is Harvard's hackathon. And I ended up just posting on Facebook a little message that was like, hey, if anyone else is going, it doesn't have a ride, I'll drive, you pay for gas, and we'll carpool together to save some money down to Boston. So one of the individuals that got back was actually a medical student at McMaster, and we ended up forming a team, and we made this little proof of concept of this Huntington's disease test that essentially tracked your hand movements as you went through like a minute or two of various hand movements, and it used machine learning to kind of try to quantify and compare that hand movement to an individual's that might have Huntington's disease.
Right.
And so we ended up having some success at Hack Harvard, and we thought, hey, this is cool. Like, why don't we try to actually build this out and see where this goes? And then we essentially landed on a device that used a Kinect motion sensor to track your gait, which is the way you walk. And then using that data from your gait, we could compare that against individuals with various neurodegenerative diseases.
Oh, so this expanded beyond just Huntington's.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, there's more prevalent diseases than Huntington's. So ALS and Parkinson's. And so, essentially this would try to objectively quantify your gait and, use machine learning to compare that to an individual's with these diseases.
And this all started from a carpool ride.
Yeah.
That's such a cute founder story. I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Interesting. So then I'm curious, did you ever like want to try entrepreneurship before the whole Hack Harvard like timeline, or was it something that kind of came up as the events were unfolding kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it definitely just came up. We got to a point where we'd like built out this proof of concept and we were like, okay, so like, does this mean we're going to be successful? Like, why is no one buying this? And it's like, oh wait, like apparently we need this thing called like a business plan and like
you product need to, people, you need to sales. Know. What's that?
Yeah. So I think it was like just natural progression. Got to the point where we're like, hey, let's actually try to like get someone to buy this. And then it ended up happening.
And you guys ended up expanding your team as well, right?
Ended up expanding the team. Yeah. So.
And what was that like? What was that like? Because I know that a lot of people and a lot of students spent a lot of time in the chair being interviewed, but I don't know if you guys, did you guys do interviews? Did you like reach out to people? Like how does that organic process happen?
Yeah, never formally. Really? I definitely like, we would go through and we'd have our core team of around three or four individuals and then going through co-ops and being at school. I guess it was easy to observe where we need, like gaps we needed to fill in the company and roles. And, when you find someone that, you know, could potentially fill that, I'd hop right on it and I, you know, try to get them on board and, you know, maybe see if they were interested. And,
that's recruitment. That's what that is.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was very natural. Yeah. But I think that it worked well because, like at the end of the day, like these were individuals that, you know, came on naturally. And I, you know, the interview wasn't just like a, you know, sit in a room, write on a, you know, whiteboard coding style interview. It was like over a period of like a month or two, you know, get to know each other. And if they were really interested in it, then they could come on and help us out.
Did you find that the people you ended up bringing on were like vested in the project a lot?
Oh yeah. Everyone was vested in the project, I think.
That's so good.
Yeah. I mean, especially since like no one was really getting paid. Like,
yeah. That's like really hard to do.
Yeah.
Like selling someone like your vision about what something can be and not just like what it is right now, but the potential that it has and like selling that to someone, getting them to work on it. That's you should give yourself more credit. That's really hard to do.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So how, this is the golden question. How did you manage this and co-op and school? And I guess since when you started in second year, was that right after you transitioned from systems to software?
Yeah.
So like literally all the variables just crank to 11. How do you manage this tornado? Or did you?
Yeah, or did I? That's a better question. That's a good question. I think overall, I think it came down to focus and prioritization. I definitely did not manage to, you know, succeed in every single area of my life during this period. I think I definitely prioritized the startup, and I still tried to get through school at the same time, which meant that I wasn't prioritizing grades all of a sudden, and I still am not. I don't think, honestly, like I don't really care what's on a transcript. As long as it says, you know, I passed or whatever, that's fine with me. In terms of like academically, I'm not thriving, but that's okay because I choose to prioritize other things and I'm choosing to prioritize, you know, the startup and education, you know, outside of the classroom. So I would say the big thing is really like focus and prioritization. Yeah. Figure out what's, important to you. I think I did that early on. I figured out, hey, you know, like entrepreneurial skills and software development are more important than, you know, getting an A+ on like,
playing the game,
chemistry 101 test or whatever.
I'm curious, did working with and on the startup, did it complement your like process for co-op, like finding jobs and stuff? Like, did you find it was helping or was it a barrier?
Oh, for sure it helped. I think the big thing is like, after trying to build your own company, you understand what goes into it and you get like a firsthand experience of what it's like on the other side of the table.
I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so after going into interviews, it felt way different because all of a sudden I kind of knew what they were looking for. It didn't feel like they were just like this, I don't know, entity that's like looking down and judging you in an interview. All of a sudden it was a conversation.
Yeah.
And both parties are trying to find a good fit. So I think it was definitely beneficial.
Yeah. I always tell people like, if you can try and get that kind of experience, because it does change how you view internships, because you realize that the recruiters, they want to hire people. Like they are looking for someone. Yeah, they're not here to ruin your day. Like they're here to find someone to bring into their company.
Yeah.
And you need a job and you just got to find the person who needs what you have. Right. And sometimes you go to an interview and it like, it might be a great interview, but you just don't want to work there.
Yeah.
And or like they just can't hire you because you have the wrong skills, but you're a great person. And that's like nothing, that speaks nothing of your character, that you're like a terrible person.
Absolutely.
Right? It's super, super helpful. So looking back, would you have done anything differently?
Oof. Yeah, definitely like a lot. I mean, can we narrow the scope a little bit?
Looking back, let's see. Let's talk like in terms of the startup and like, I guess co-op, those are like the two things I think are that could have the most variance. Like, would you have done anything about them differently?
Good question. I think when it comes to co-op, at the beginning, I was kind of looking for anything, at least as long as it had some sort of software development in it. So I didn't have much choice, I guess, yeah, at the beginning there. Kind of in the middle during like, you know, second, third, fourth co-ops, I think I maybe should have diversified what I worked on a little bit just to get like some more experience. Because once again, like co-op is an incredible opportunity to try, you know,
yeah,
a bunch of different stuff. And I kind of like stuck with web dev right away. And I love web dev and I'm like, it's a very useful skill set. But now it becomes like quite hard to, you know, go back down the mountain and like, you know, work at a little company doing like, I don't know, some sort of like infrastructure engineering, which
yeah,
is also DevOps, a useful, like yeah, kind of useful stuff. Skill set.
Yeah.
So maybe trying something like that earlier, at least just once, and then going on from there, I might have changed. When it comes to the startup, man, there's like a million things I would have done differently. But at the same time, like I look back at what I knew when I kind of went into the startup and actually tried to like make a product that you could sell. And I didn't know like anything. And I think the best thing you can do is not try to learn absolutely everything and make sure you're 100% certain before you go in. It's just like start.
Yeah.
It's just go in. And even if you have no confidence and you don't know what you're doing, you'll learn as you go. And so I think honestly, like I don't regret doing that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a unique experience, like running your own business and your own startup. There's almost nothing else like it. Like you can work a job for someone else, but it's totally different from working on your own company.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think being decisive is like, just like when you're unsure, just pick one and do it.
Yep.
And chances are both of them are wrong because you're young and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And chances are both of them are wrong in some way or another.
But you'll figure out sooner if you just make the decision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the next time you see that option come up, you just don't do it again.
There you go.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Stride then. Going into the future, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, so right now we are on hold. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm back in school and everyone else now is working their like full-time jobs.
Oh, so were they all older than you?
Yeah, except for one.
Oh,
remember?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, most of them were older. So yeah, everyone's kind of like working full-time at the moment. So it's difficult to kind of find the time to put into like a full-time company. We did have a little stint where we had maybe like 4 to 8 months where a couple of us were like putting in around 40 to 60 hours a week with like other commitments too, which was like pretty great, I think. But yeah, going into the future, when I say it's on hold and not like done.
Yeah.
Because the problem still exists.
Oh yeah. It's not solved.
It is not solved. And I think, and I don't think we missed the problem or that our solution didn't work at all. I think we just didn't have the time and the resources, and we just didn't execute 100%. And that's why we failed. So yeah, I think going forward, I mean, we have to make a decision whether to continue to pursue it or pursue mm-hmm. something else. I am starting to pursue something else on the side just because I tend to do that. I go all over the place.
Is this an exclusive preview at the next Declan project?
Yeah, I know. I mean, like some people know about it. It's basically a concussion screening product for parents of youth athletes.
Oh.
That they could essentially screen their children for concussions at home. Using basically a mobile device. And just have their kid play a little game.
Are you using the eye movement thing? What are those called?
Yeah, ocular motor function.
Yeah.
That's what we track using computer vision.
Oh, interesting. There is someone working on a project for an FYDP doing the exact same thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I should probably connect
to them. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Really cool.
Yeah, we're in the exploratory phase right now, which is pretty cool. But I'm kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. But
do you have a like medical medical solutions and medical problems, is that something that's like you find the most interesting?
Man, I just like, I swore after like trying the first thing, I was like, okay, you should probably stay away from medical because it's like, it's hectic, man. There's so many rules and regulations and you know, it's a hard space to innovate in.
Yeah, but clearly something is like drawing you back.
Yeah, it's just, man, the amount and the like, you know, the severity of problems that exist in that industry. I don't know what it is, man, but like you look at it and there's so much room for improvement and problem solving. It's just hard to stay away from it. In saying that, there are like, you know, there are massive companies that are trying to solve these problems and still failing.
Yeah.
So it's like not exactly an easy space to, you know, succeed in as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I just think, yeah, I think we're breaking through, like just as a, you know,
as a collective,
as humanity, yeah. Like we are getting to the point where we can actually improve this industry. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. I'd love to be a part of that.
I think so. A long time ago, I saw this video from Sam. Do you know who Sam Altman is?
Yeah, YC.
Yeah, he's the founder of Y Combinator. And he did this video for Startup School where he talked about why you should start a company. And he went through like him and his founder, who was one of the original founders at Facebook, went through like a 20-slide deck. They're like, if you want money, you can make just as much money working in investment banking or working at a big company with all that kind of stuff. If you want fame and power, go on Twitter, go on Instagram. But he said the reason that you should start a company is because you can't not. And I think it's great to see, like, that's what I get from you, is that, like, you see that space and it's just you can't live with that. You know what I mean? Like, you see something and it's like, this bothers me that it is the way that it is and that we can do better.
I think it's so cool how in entrepreneurship you have the flexibility to really choose what problems you want to solve. Whereas, I mean, yeah, you could choose, you know, a particular company to work at or a startup, but you have like the ultimate flexibility when you're working for yourself. And I think it's so cool just being able to, you know, choose whatever problems or whatever space you think is interesting and just dive in and be able to actually, you know, address what problems exist there.
But then going into co-op, I guess it's co-op for you next term?
Co-op for me next term, yeah.
How does it feel to go from that kind of mindset into like working at probably one of the biggest companies in the Valley at Facebook?
Yeah. I definitely don't want to work at a big company after I graduate. I definitely want to do my own thing. That's something I've kind of come to understand over the last couple of years, is like, I'm going to build my own company when I graduate. In saying that, I think there's a ton you can still learn from working, you know, at some of the top technology companies at the world. I'm excited. I'm also excited just to like take a bit of a break. You know, I think
you deserve it, man.
Yeah. I think I used to have this, like, I used to think you could just like hustle like 24/7, just build habits that allowed you to get like superhuman, you know, stuff done. And that was it. But I don't think that's the case.
We just want to be human.
Yeah.
We don't have to be superhuman.
Yeah. When it comes to me, man, it's like I can, you know, neglect other parts of my life and just, you know, focus and double down on like the entrepreneurship for a bit. But then you need to like go back into a bit of recovery mode and be like, okay, that took a lot of energy. Let's like get everything else going again.
Yeah.
And then we'll dive back in. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to work at Facebook. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's going to be just like a super fun. I'll get to learn a bunch.
Yeah. And they have a very unique set of their own problems.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays. Oh, yeah. Like they have some stuff they need to sort out.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be some fun stuff for you to work on there.
For sure. Yeah.
We're almost out of time. So I guess that's it for the end of the episode. It goes by faster than you think.
It does.
This is the last one for 8 and it's the last one for the season. So Declan, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Good luck at Facebook. Good luck out there. And I guess we'll talk to you the rest of yours some point in the future. Unknown.
So all right. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Bye, everybody. All right. We hope you enjoyed. That was episode 8. As always, if you liked it, feel free to follow us wherever you found us and give us a shout on Facebook. This episode was sponsored by the University of Waterloo's Mathematics Endowment Fund and, of course, UW Coffee & Co. This episode was also the last of the season, so if you've made it this far, on behalf of the Coffee & Co. team, I would just like to say thank you. We hope you found the show helpful, and maybe you'll hear from us again in the future. But until then, stay curious and take care, folks.